Be sure to tune into Immigration with Tamina Watson this and every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Immigration attorney Tamina Watson founded Watson Immigration Law here in Seattle and is a frequent speaker, author, and blogger who has appeared in Forbes, CNN, The Seattle Times, and much, much more. On her new radio show, Tamina will take all your questions live on air. Plus, she will discuss and provide insight into the latest immigration news and issues, as well as talk with notable personalities who have impacted U.S. immigration law or are notable immigrants themselves. Check out her new show, Tuesdays at 10 a.m., Immigration, with Tamina Watson on Desi 1250 a.m., radio that listens to you.
Good morning, Seattle. This is Tamina Watson on Desi 1250 a.m. This show is all about immigration and immigration only, with news updates and so much more. Today we have a very special show, and we invite you to tune in to Facebook Live at the Watson Immigration Law webpage on Facebook, and tune in and watch us live and talking about immigration and the election. We have two very, very special guests joining us today, and before I introduce you to them, I'm going to talk a little bit about what's going to happen today and if you want to call in, what the number is. So to remind you, the show is every Tuesday at 10 o'clock on Pacific Standard Time on Desi 1250 AM. And if you want to call into the show, the number is 844-301-1250. That's 844-301-1250. You can also go to www.desi1250am.com to live stream the show, or you can go to the app on the App Store and download it to listen live. With only 1 week left to the election, we have so much to talk about, and I want to introduce you to our wonderful guest who's here, Alex Stonehill. Alex Stonehill is the co-founder and editor of the Seattle Globalist. He has a background as a visual journalist and has reported from over a dozen countries, including Syria, Ethiopia, and Pakistan. His work has been published by PBS, The Seattle Times, Frontline World, and The Seattle Weekly. He recently directed the award-winning documentary Barzan, that's B-A-R-Z-A-N, and he teaches journalism in the University of Washington's Department of Communication. Welcome, Alex.
Thanks a lot, Tamina.
Well, I'm so excited because you and I work on writing projects, and this is just a real, real treat for me, so thank you.
Yeah, it's been great. Tamina's been contributing to the Seattle Globalist for, I think, more than a year now, and it's been fantastic having your contributions.
Well,
there.
I'm very grateful, and my listeners will know that every time it's published, I direct them to go and listen to the go to the website. Now, our guest who's also going to be joining us in a moment is Joaquin Wee. Born in Manila, Philippines, he moved to the U.S. with his parents in the early 80s to leave behind the Marcos dictatorship. As the ethnic media and communication specialist with the Immigration and Refugee Affairs Office with the City of Seattle, he helps to ensure that all city departments include ethnic media in their inclusive outreach plans. His position in the city also includes advocating for immigrant and refugee communities regarding policy decisions and long-term planning. He is just an excellent person to have on the show today, listeners and viewers. And he is almost here. So we're going to have him here in just a moment. Listeners, thank you so much for joining. 1 week left and so much to talk about. I hope you got your early voting done. And Joaquin, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. Alex, you know, election is a big part of the rhetoric at the moment, and of course you are writing about it all the time. Give us a snapshot of what you think is the biggest issue on this election and why immigration might be one of those.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're definitely right. We're here to talk about immigration, and it has been one of the really big ones. And we see obviously both of the mainstream presidential candidates are talking about it quite a bit. You know, and are striking very different tones. And then, of course, we also see a lot of voters are this is a big issue for a lot of voters. And we hear a lot about how it's a big issue for a lot of voters on the sort of anti-immigrant or anti-immigration side. But what we've been hearing at Seattle Globalist, we have a lot of contributors who are immigrants themselves or second-generation immigrants. And it appears that people in that camp have been very mobilized by the election as well. So we're running a series right now actually called The New Voters that profiles people who will be voting in this election for the first time, at least for the first time voting in the United States. typically people coming from other countries, some who have arrived relatively recently, and others who have been here for years but have just now finally either gotten citizenship or gotten registered to vote for the first time. And I think a lot of people are in that position where they're seeing some of the rhetoric coming from Trump and other Republican candidates, and realizing, hey, I really need to get out there and vote to stop what could be a major disaster for me and my family and the country.
Quite right. I mean, me and my family, I think that's definitely a very important theme in everyone's view. So I've read those articles and they're fantastic. Can we remind the listeners what the website is?
Oh, yeah. So it's seattleglobalist.com.
And I believe one of the front news is really one of these stories that you mentioned. So if anyone's interested, please go and read those stories. And if you are a new citizen and voting for the first time, you're welcome to call into the show. It's 844-301-1250. Now, Joaquin, thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to have you here from the Office of Immigrant and Refugee Affairs for the City of Seattle. Why do you think immigration is so important in this election?
Immigration, I think, is huge because the United States is a nation of immigrants, and we receive a number of migrants and refugees and folks who are part of the long American tradition of coming to this country to find a better life for themselves. And as a result, these individuals, whether they're from Africa, Asia, or Europe, they are seeking to find their way in this country. And that means, for us, at least at the office, going through this pathway of immigrant integration. And part of that pathway towards integration, and I want to note, this is integration, which is different from assimilation. For us at the office, we see assimilation as denying and basically shedding your culture and your practices and maybe even your language from where you're originally from, and instead diving headlong into American culture, whatever that is, but you know, cultures are fluid things. We instead look at it in terms of immigrant integration, where you bring parts of your culture, your home culture, into American culture, and you contribute to the evolving characteristics or evolving culture that is the United States, that is American culture. And so, you know, one thing that's a big part of that, of what I think is American culture, is voting and being civically engaged. So if you look at this spectrum that goes from people who are here who are undocumented, people who are here who are legal permanent residents, and then all the way down the line to people who are new citizens or newly naturalized citizens, in that continuum, we see civic engagement in voting at the very end, when you're finally a U.S. citizen, you're voting, and then for our analysis, ideally after you vote, maybe you get involved with a commission or mm-hmm. a nonprofit board or some kind of, or maybe your neighborhood, you know, district when it comes to voting or your local party.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about voting in a minute and all the things that your office is doing. Coming back to the election and immigration, why is this election important for immigration from a domestic perspective?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously very important just because there's I think the people with a realistic view of immigration policy are a little bit playing defense because of the two major candidates that we ended up with, and specifically with the Trump candidacy, which I think is actually kind of unfortunate, because there's a lot of really important conversations that we need to be having on a domestic federal level about our immigration policy that got raised with the comprehensive immigration reform bill a few years ago. And, you know, there was a lot to talk about there. That bill, I don't think was a big compromise, or it seemed like a big compromise.
I agree.
Time. Mm-hmm. And you were compromising things about, you know, do we really need to spend all this money on border enforcement when undocumented immigration from Mexico is actually at net negative mm-hmm. right now? You know, should we be trading the family driven, relative driven immigration system for the business or entrepreneurial driven system of bringing in new immigrants? All of that has kind of gone out the window with the proposals coming from Trump to build a wall and somehow hunt down and deport every undocumented immigrant in the U.S. and things like that, which are really things that are not they're terrifying and probably not also realistically enforceable.
Right. right, which takes me to the international perspective, because immigration is really going to have an international impact of where we are globally. Could you comment on that?
Well, I mean, there's certainly, I guess there's a couple pieces there. One is our level of sort of cultural influence around the world and the way that people see America. And, you know, in my time, as you mentioned in my sort of lead in there, I've spent a lot of time traveling in different parts of the world. And in the last 20 years of doing that, seeing a transformation of the way that people even see our country abroad, and not really for the better, I think partly because of a lot of this rhetoric. You know, this country used to be, and I think still continues to be in many ways, a place that people look to as, you know, I want to go there, I want to move there. And that's a fantastic asset to us. It's always been a big asset to America, both economically and culturally. But you kind of see that on the wane a little bit or a lot when, you know, we have this sort of dysfunctional political system or dysfunctional campaign system,
right,
at least.
Right,
and,
yeah.
A lot of other things going on that I think are making it a little less attractive, and seeing immigrants potentially being persecuted. I mean, nobody wants to come to a place where they're not wanted. So if that's the vibe that we're sending out to the world, that's not going to be good for us in the long term.
I like that word, vibe. I think that's the thing that I'm concerned about, is what kind of message are we really sending? So it'll be interesting to see what happens on November 9th and whether we get walls or bridges. Again, you know, listeners, you remember the article that I wrote recently for the Seattle Globalist. I encourage you to go and read it again. So coming to voting, Joaquin, I think yesterday Seattle Times had an article about Bellevue having the majority minority, group. So do you think the immigrant vote is going to matter in this election?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that with the rhetoric that has been out there, the inflammatory rhetoric against immigrants and refugees in this country, combined with, I'd say, this new awakening of immigrants who are seeing themselves as a powerful bloc. They're actually coming to this point where they're like, hey, you know, we just need to organize. And, you know, a lot of immigrants come from cultures and countries where organizing is key. They're seeing how that plays out here in the United States and saying, oh, this culture of organizing is something that's important here in the U.S. It's something that's valued. We use this for unionizing, for our democratic processes. And so there's a natural, I think, fit for a lot of folks who are coming to this country to have ballot parties, to organize themselves with events, to watch the debates, and maybe even have a translator available or interpreter available to interpret for folks who may have a hard time following the debate. So I think that not just in Seattle, but I think across the U.S., we're seeing, and this is anecdotal, but I think we're seeing a rise in political consciousness amongst immigrants and refugees. And I think the big hope is that you start there, and then you go towards voting, and then further down the line, hopefully not too far down the line, you have immigrant and refugee individuals signing up for political candidacy, mm-hmm, and for representing communities that have not had representation from their own neighborhoods and their own families.
Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for sharing that. You know, I want to share a little bit of information that it was from the New American Economy Partnerships report recently. In 2014, Washington had 405,000 foreign-born residents who were eligible to vote, and an estimated almost 242,000 foreign-born Washingtonians had also taken the steps of formally registering. In 2012, Barack Obama won Washington by roughly 465,000 votes, and the total number of eligible immigrant voters in the state is only 53,000 less than that margin. So, I mean, it really means that there is a very large voter community that are immigrants, and I think that number may have risen by now, because you as an office have really taken a lot of steps to joining with One America also, who have done other citizenship drives. You have done several, there have been several this year, correct?
Oh, yes.
Citizenship clinics?
Yes, One America, they do clinics around the state. Citizenship workshops is another term that we like to use. They're basically these events where volunteer paralegals, lawyers, and other immigration savvy counselors get paired up with immigrants and refugees who mostly are elderly, low-income people who don't normally have access to lawyers to help them through the immigration, the very complicated immigration application process. It can also be quite expensive as well. And then the volunteers, also sometimes interpreters, take them through the N-400, as you know. Mm-hmm. It's the citizenship application, question by question, box by box. And the idea is that they go through the whole application process, and if there's no huge red flags, then after that there's a check, and then we can help them mail it out that same day so that they can get on the path toward citizenship.
That's fantastic, and I think you have helped a lot of people become citizens, which is really reflected in the articles that you're publishing.
For
so
sure.
Again, listeners and viewers, please go to the Seattle Globalist website as well as the Office of Immigrant and Refugees Affairs website to find out the next Citizenship Day that would be coming up, which might be December 4th, am I right?
Yes, December 4th. So we had our very first cities around the country are getting into the practice of having their own citizenship workshops. Usually nonprofits run them. We're doing it through a partnership with a few nonprofits around the city, including One America and ACRS, for example, Asian Counseling Referral Service. And so we had our first, our very first citizenship workshop. That was October 15th. It was a Saturday, and our goal was 500 legal permanent residents arriving there to get started on the pathway towards citizenship. And we have the very same goal for our next citizenship workshop. The previous one was in the South End at Seattle Community College, South Seattle College. The next one is at North Seattle College. And again, we're doing the whole thing again. We want 500 legal permanent residents to come through,
fantastic,
find out more about the process, and get on the path towards citizenship.
Fantastic. So you guys are doing a lot for immigrants and refugees in our city. Why is immigration important in our state, do you think, Alex?
Well, as you wrote about in the Seattle Globalist recently, you know, there's a lot of data, and I think it was some pretty new data coming out, again, from that Partnership for New American Economy, that shows the economic contributions that immigrants and refugees are making to our economy here. Is that what you meant, or did you
That's
mean
what
on
I meant,
the
yeah.
not on the voting?
No,
level
I mean
as
well? why is immigration important for our state? If immigration laws are not changed, what does it mean for our state?
Yeah, well, as came out in that article, there's a lot of I think part of the problem with the immigration system as it stands now is it's very difficult for people to make it through that process, as Wax was just describing. It's so complicated, and one of the things you mentioned on that article that was really surprising to me is that the shift in undocumented immigration, as I said before, is kind of waning away from people from Mexico or Central America and towards people from India or China. And I think those people are, you know, they're not coming here by crossing the border without documentation. They're coming here usually on student visas or on family visit visas, and then trying to work their way through the system that is, in some cases, you know, I don't want to say impossible, but very difficult to get through, with really long wait times, and can sometimes be impenetrable, and so they end up overstaying visas, and that's what that undocumented population is starting to look like now. So fixing that is, you know, it should be priority one. As I said before, it doesn't seem like on a federal level we're really having those conversations that we need to have, but you never know what's going to happen after the election. We'll have a whole new Congress and a new president, and it's possible that we can actually get back to those questions and start moving forward again on immigration reform that solves some of that.
Well, I certainly hope so. Immigration reform. Now, do local elections matter to federal immigration issues?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, sometimes local is really where you can make some of the deepest impacts, because the ordinances and laws that happened in the city of Seattle have such a dramatic effect on the communities that reside in the city. And so, you know, one of the things that we try to make sure happens here at the city is that people know when to vote, how to vote. We have a very unique system here, as a lot of you know, with the mail-in ballots, which is very different for a lot of people who are coming here from other countries, a lot of places around the world. There's the thumbprint. You go into a place, a community center, and it is the old school way of, well, I don't know if it's old school anymore. I mean, there's still a lot of states in the U.S. who use this process. But going to a place, a polling station, voting, thumbprint, signature, and we do that so differently here. That's why it's really important for us, the city, and for other municipal governments around the state to make sure that, you know, immigrants and refugees, it's not just a matter of translation and language access. It's a matter of also just knowing the basics of how it works, which includes, here's the envelope. This is what you do with the envelope, taking the strip off the top, making sure there's a stamp. All of that can be very, quite literally foreign for a lot of immigrants and refugees. And so making sure that people know and understand that is key. And for our office, working with our community-based organizations and nonprofits so that they can be the ones to organize these events to do that kind of basic, here's how you vote in, you know, King County in Seattle, that's so key for getting the vote out.
You guys are doing an amazing job on that. Alex, I'm going to come to that question with you as well. The elected officials that we elect, and these are people that we are locally electing, does that matter when it comes to federal immigration law?
I think it definitely does. The national political culture is almost always driven by what happens on the local level. As Wax was referencing, you know, we've pushed the conversation nationally on things like gay marriage, on things like legalized marijuana, and we can and have on things related to immigration as well. So, I mean, we have... there's decisions being made on the local level when it comes to things like sanctuary cities, how we're going to enforce federal immigration law. Are people who are undocumented going to be protected, or are they going to be persecuted? That's really decided on a municipal level, on a state level. We have things like the Washington State DREAM Act that passed a few years ago, which is not the official name. I always forget what the official name is, but that was basically, you know, extending things like tuition aid for local universities to undocumented people. And then we have our local representatives here that are going to the federal level and are, you know, potentially have potential to be making policy and pushing policy. I know you've had Adam Smith on the mm-hmm. show before, mm-hmm. And he, I think, recently, not too recently, got awakened to some of the problems in the immigration detention system and visited the facility we have in Tacoma and was not thrilled with what he saw there and started really pushing for reform of that. So all of those things, who we elect here locally, really make a big impact on what happens nationally. So when people are voting, don't skip all the down ballots and just vote for the president.
Well, thank you so much for explaining that so nicely, because I think when people say immigration, you typically think about immigration reform, but it's just so much more than that. And I think we're very lucky to be in a state where we have a lot of local representatives who are representing us at the national level, who are really taking their time and interest in making sure immigrant rights are protected. You know, we don't have much time left. A few words from you. What about people going out and voting? What should they do?
They should vote early and often. They should gather with their community members to talk about the issues. Democracy is energized by vigorous debate and discussion. And so that comes naturally to a lot of immigrants and refugees in Seattle. So we recommend folks come together, talk about their ballots, have a little ballot party in their communities, and mail in their ballots as soon as they can. And if you're not a citizen, come Sunday, December 4th, 2016, this year at North Seattle College, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. is our next citizenship workshop. You can find out more at seattle.gov/INRaffairs.
Fantastic.
Sure, you'll probably link to it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Last words from you about getting out and voting.
Yeah, definitely. I agree to vote, but also be an informed voter. I mean, it sometimes can be easy to get engaged with the national stuff. Really, your vote for president has so much less power than your vote on these local initiatives, local representatives, and make sure you know who you're voting for. I mean, it's not easy with a huge ballot like we have this year. It really takes some time. I like to give myself a couple hours and sit there with my ballot. It's kind of nice about mail-in voting that you have to have the pressure on in the voting booth. You can do some research, look up different candidates, talk to your friends. And yeah, I agree. Talk to people and find out what they're thinking, and so you can make the right choices.
Well, thank you so much, Alex and Joaquin, for being here today and talking to our viewers. Hello, everybody on Facebook, and to the listeners for actually tuning in and listening and being informed about this. So thank you so much. Really appreciate the time you've given us. Listeners, this was a very interesting discussion, and I'm so glad that everyone was here to join us. This show will be repeated on Friday at 8 p.m. This week, and then, of course, it will be on SoundCloud archived as well. Thank you so much to everybody who joined us. We will see you next week again with a similar panel discussion. Get out and vote. There's no more election than this one that's most important for this country, for you, for the future of your children, and the course of the country. So thank you so much for joining us. Bye-bye.